Really doesn't matter what the people say. There's something mighty sweet. Amen. Once I wandered out in sin, far from God away. But the dear Savior took me in. He gave me sweet peace. That day, all my heart to Him I've given, no more sin allow. I've just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. I've just heard from heaven, and this one thing I know. My sins are all forgiven. He washed them as white as snow. The load that once I carried, He took away somehow. I just heard from heaven, and right now, trials come to you and me. The burdens get hard to bear, but our heartaches, grief, and pain, He said He'd be so glad to share. So just look up and trust in Him. Leave all of your burdens right there. He will hear from heaven when you call in prayer. Sing,
I've just heard from heaven, and this one thing I know. My sins are all forgiven. He washed it white as snow.
The love that once I carried, He took away somehow. I just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. When this old load gets hard to bear, and my path grows dim, no one seems at all to care, I'll just go to Him. He's my intercessor there, so at His feet I bow. I've just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. I've just heard from heaven, and this one thing I know. My sins are all forgiven. He washed them as white as snow. The load that once I carried, He took away somehow. I just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. Amen.
May we pray. Our Father, now we've had a good time up until now. The choir specials and singing is so good. And special music, and then the congregation entering in heartily. And it seemed like everybody glad they came this way tonight. Now, Father, we're fixing to do what You called us to do, and that's preach. And we can't preach except the power of God. Lord, You said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And Lord, I pray that You'll let me be one of Your sent ones tonight. Lord, send me. I was thinking of that scripture, Lord, this afternoon where You said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would thrust them. Lord, we need that thrust tonight. We pray for a heavenly thrust. Lord, these old jet planes loaded with 200 or 300 people have enough thrust to climb up to 40,000 feet and haul them 600 miles an hour, and they call that thrust. Lord, we need a spiritual thrust tonight. Thrust us into this harvest field of Rochester Hills. Lord, bless our visitors and our guests, and grant, Lord, that this will be the smallest crowd we'll ever have here during this meeting. But from now on, and the people will come, draw them in. You said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I pray to draw them and help us to give a good witness tomorrow. And tonight when we get home and where we go to work in the morning and on the school campuses, and I pray that the members of this church will get on their spiritual quarter horses and round up the people and bring them in to hear the gospel, knowing time is just fixing to kiss eternity and all be over except eternity. God bless us. Bless the pastor. Bless the visiting preachers in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought today I'd like to preach some sermons on the great passages or great chapters of the Word of God as the Lord. The first one tonight is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And I think, as I heard somebody pray tonight, and the thought came to me concerning Hebrews chapter 11. So And the Lord, because you know, chapter 11 is our theme chapter for our entire ministry, the great chapter on faith. And I hope you'll be prepared about Saturday night, if the Lord so leads, for us to preach on that text that's recorded four times, "Now the just shall live." How? By faith. Just by faith. And without faith, it's hard. No, he said it's impossible to please God. You can't please him with your works. And you can't please him with your sight. You please him by your faith. You know why? It's because the only thing that pleases God is what God does. What you do doesn't please God unless he does it. The old psalmist said, "But they may know, Lord, that thou hast done it." I want them to know who did this thing. My daddy used to get on the phone, four rings on 187, way out in the country. And I've heard him 1,000 times, I guess. "Hello?" But, I mean, if it wasn't too far away, wasn't then he'd been on the phone. "Hello?" You know what he'd ask next? "Who's doing the talking?" Amen. He wanted who's doing the talking. "Brother, tonight let's figure out who's doing the talking. If it's Lester Olof, you can go now. If it's God, you better stay till it's all over." Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I was talking to one of the flight services today, or somebody along the trail on the radios, and at least I thought I was. But he was on one frequency and I was on another. We had to get together before we could converse. And I told him directly, he said, "Well," he called back at me, and I said, "It's my fault. I had the wrong frequency on the transmitting radio." Folks, tune in tonight. Isaiah chapter 53, who has believed our report? Who? I tell you what, that verse I've raised it many a time. In my preaching in these 41 years, I remember one night I was in Arkansas and I preached, and the people were there. We prayed that they'd come and visited, and they were there. They filled the house. It is packed and jammed. We thought that'd be the key hour. We thought that'd be the time. We got them there. The people had worked. And yet, at the close of the service, the old devil had moved in to somehow paralyze and keep the people, I mean, from doing what I never forget. And I was so heartbroken till I climbed out the window, jumped out the window, ran to my bedroom, and I raised the question, "Who hath believed our report?" One morning, I was in Georgia with Paul Aiken, big, fashionable church. Balcony was packed, and the once-a-week folks came that morning. I mean, they sat down all over that big auditorium, similar to this one, and we preached. And that was our only opportunity to get at the people. That's the only time. In other words, the people came with attitude, "Do your best, buddy. This is the only time you shoot at me while you're here. I'll not be showing up anymore." And they came. That Sunday morning crowd, that 11 o'clock crowd, came in sort of like Catholics going to Mass. And there they were. "This is it." I remember the norther was blowing as cold, and I tell you, the service was so difficult, and I ran out behind the pulpit and down the road and ran all the way home that morning saying, "Who hath believed our report?" They didn't believe it. I'm wondering tonight how many is going to believe the report. I'm going to make a report from heaven. I'm going to report God's reportings tonight. I've got good news for you, but unless you believe it, you will not profit by it.
Who
hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Well, I can tell you that.
The arm of the Lord is revealed to the one who believes the report. You sit there full of unbelief tonight and say, that's not for me. And I just can't bring myself to believe it. Night before last, I sat in my living room at home. And an old broken-hearted daddy came, and his wife. That was their second trip. That was their second trip, nearly 500-mile trip both ways. They came down first on Sunday and said, Brother Olaf, my boy is in jail. He's 39 years old. My grandchild was mixed up with him. They got both of them. Little old 15-year-old boy. Little old Glenn. Little Glenn, big Glenn. And said he's on a $10,000 bond. And said if I go make his bond and get him out. Said, could I bring him down here? I said, yes. You can bring him down. I had Little Glenn before down at the lighthouse, and Little Glenn was a smart aleck, and he didn't want to stay. But we trimmed his hair and made him look like a little gentleman, and made some progress, and very sweet, cute boy in many ways, but he just wanted to go back to Houston. He wanted to get back, you know. I'm growing up. And down in the coastal 40 miles, and where they catch about a ton of fish, 2,000 pounds of fish a week on rods and reels. Beautiful speck of trout. And our girls, they catch hundreds of pounds of fish at number 9. Really do. And so, you know what happened? Night before last, here came the mother and daddy back. And I was dealing with some people there, that a boy that just got out of jail, and has been in crime all of his life. And I went down to the jailhouse and paid off his remaining part of his fine, bailed his old car out of the car pound, and we were sitting there talking, and just so many things happening, trying to get away and get ready to leave yesterday morning, and in came this, knocked on the door, and in came this family, and they brought the boy and his boy. You talk about a challenge. I said, I knew I had to build his faith. You talk about hard. Listen, he's as hard to look and crit as I ever saw in my life, but that's the kind we deal with. And I mean, little folks are getting hard now. They're the killers. Little teenagers, they're the killers.
That's right.
Oh, you talk about hatred. You talk about loving the devil and hating God and hating the parents. And we deal with them all the time. Such as we got a bunch of them in the homes right now. But he came in and sat down. I mean, his old face, you could tell that sin had done its work. 39 years of age, little old 15-year-old son said. And I said, hi, Glenn. I said, son, you didn't stay with me long enough, did you? If you'd stayed, you wouldn't be in the trouble with me now. I wish you'd stayed, man. There his hair was, grown again. And the little fella had gone back in a rebellion. His daddy's sitting over there as hard as nails. I went and got 2 Liberty Bells, and I said, I want you to look through here. That little girl at the age of 13 had a criminal record. There's a girl right there that attempted suicide 8 times in the mental hospital. She became salutatorian. And there's a boy that was a thief right there, old Ricky. And his dad had been sent to Penn. Now he's graduating from Tennessee Temple this year, just gone to be associate pastor this summer. And there's old Bill Blackstone. We finally got him 10 years probation. He's standing just outside the judge's chamber right there. And he's married to a beautiful little girl now, and he's in Tennessee Temple School and has finished 1 year, and he's guilty of 4 times pushing dope and heroin and everything else. And so the judge said, son, stand up. And he gave him 10 years in Penn, said, I'm going to give you because of your faith in Christ and your profession of faith, and you say you're saved and been called a priest, I'm going to let you have probation. And I said, there's old Mike Delenty. Old Mike Delenty, I said, he was a gathering demoniac, whiskers down on his chest from his chin and face, and dirty and old hair down over his shoulders, and the dope pushing. I said, there he is serving God full time. And I said, there's Bill Henderson, who put the pistol in the face of a policeman and said, drive me to get a load of dope. Said, I'll shoot your dirty brains out. And I mean, that criminal sat there. And made the officer drive him until after a while they got a hold of him and took the pistol away from him. I finally got him 10 years probation. And you might remember Bill Henderson, brother, went to Tennessee Central School, graduated, pastor of the Lovely Church. And I said, there's old Harold Pennington, on dope for 12 long years from Houston. Bill was from Houston. And I said, he's been saved and delivered all the way. And there's old Mike Hagee right there. And I showed him these. I said, there's Mike Hagee. Judge said, stand up in the court yonder in Atlanta, Georgia. He said, I give you 5 years in the pen. We came along and he said, all right, let you have him. See what you can do with him. He has a boys home in Tennessee right now preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's old Danny Kent right there on dope for 13 long years. That lovely wife, you see there, got in the pen 3 times because of his dope. 3 times he went to the penitentiary. And now that he's an evangelist, preaching the gospel, graduated with honors, written up in Who's Who. I went over all this with him a little bit, and boy, he folded that thing up and put it down. He said, I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe it. I just don't believe in God. I never did go to church. I don't believe that stuff. I looked at that old hardened criminal night before last, and I said, I know why you don't believe it. You haven't been around people to believe it. You've run with the dope-shooting crowd, with the drinking crowd, with the ungodly crowd, but you're caught now. And I said, though you don't believe it, I'll give you one thing to know, and that is, I do believe it. And look what it's done for me, and look what your unbelief has done for you.
Amen.
No nervous sinner and criminal's head. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to stay another in jail any longer. He said, I won't stay out. His daddy just signed his bond. And he said directly, I'm willing to give it a try. I said, that's all you need to do, brother. Just go down there and get exposed to it. The gospel will do the rest. Ah, this old gospel hammer will break his old hard heart. And the old stony heart, it'll break it to pieces. I believe that. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he should grow up as a tender plant. As a tender plant. And as a root out of a what? Dry ground. I tell you, he came from a dry ground, didn't he? I was reading yesterday about Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. God said, take a walk around. He walked down through the valley of dry bones, no bones laying out. And he said, the Lord asked him, see, crying out his faith. He said, can these bones live? And I think old brother Ezekiel, who became the captain of the captives of Kibar, and he said, I sat where they sat. And brother, you'll never help them till you sit down where they sit down. Till you walk in their lonely shoes. Until you know their heartaches. The fact they never had a chance up until now. You'll never, never be able to help them. He said, I sat where they sat. Can these bones live? I think Ezekiel said, far as I'm concerned, they can. But he said, thou knowest. Thou knowest. Brother, wasn't very long till the more bones got together. You remember that? Don't you know that's an exciting time? People talk about the dull Christian life. Brother, ain't nothing dull about it. I mean, over here where I am.
Amen.
Most exciting place and thing I ever saw in my life. I mean, you know, outside of jail today and inside tomorrow. Then outside the next day and going on. I mean, God gives you just a many wonderful opportunities. And friends and joy and singing and the presence of the Lord. My brother, listen, there's one thing I found out. There's no duplication in the Christian life. I mean, there's no repetition. There's no monotony in the Christian life, buddy. Every day is a brand new day because His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. They're new, He said, every morning. But for His mercy, I've already been consumed. And so He said, Lord, Thou knowest. Can you imagine excitement? Old brother Ezekiel walking through the valley of dry bone, and old bone getting up walking around. Old bones, I mean, you know, knee bone looking for an ankle bone.
Brother. Oh, Elbow looking for a hand. Where's my hand?
Old hand said, here I am. Come over and get connected. Brother, in a little while, them old bones are still there. And they're standing there, wasn't it? That's right, them old bones. They had no life. God had to put life in. Reminds us of a lot of our Sunday morning churches, doesn't it, huh? Old dry bones getting together. the preacher, he don't say it, but he ought to say, well, I'm glad to have another meeting of the dry bones. And Ezekiel said they were very dry. Terrible drought for them, wasn't it? It's about the way it is. We don't want to have no meetings of the dry bones now. Listen, God breathed upon them. He breathed upon them. Them old bones had life. And I tell you, he said, I can do the same thing with Israel too. And I can put all them bones together, and I can make an army out of them. I'll make a real army. Did you see what he said? He said, I'll make an army out of them. You know what an army's supposed to do? Fight. Army not supposed to just go get their war. But you got to fight before you get in the middle. Got to have a few scars, shed some blood, and come back with an arm gone. Or a crippled leg, or shrapnel in the side of them. Brother, I tell you what, we got too many wounded feelings and not enough genuine scars. Oh, listen, have you ever heard, Brother Pastor? Well, my husband, he came there for a while, but he got his feelings hurt. Who boy told me the other day? He said, Brother Wolf, I've been hurt. I really have. Oh, and the wife was over there sort of pacifying a little bit. Said, yeah, he's been hurt deeply. He didn't receive the proper recognition. They do not appreciate my husband's ability and his great talent. Mm-hmm. You know what they told me? They said, we ain't dead yet. Dead people don't get the feelings hurt. I've never preached a funeral and a fellow raised up and said, I've been hurt deeply. I've never been to a funeral and a corpse raised up his head and said, I just wanted to see you all. Wanted to see how loyal my friends were to me. Brother. He's dead. Dead! Brother, he said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are upstairs above. You won't find it on the lower level. I swear everybody's looking for it, but it ain't down there, boy. You got to walk them golden stairs to find and to get into heaven, did you know that? And the only way you can walk those stairs is by faith. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He should grow up before him. Amen. He'll grow up before him. What about who are you growing up before? He should grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Still not much beauty to Jesus for the world. Now, isn't it pitiful? As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing ugly about Jesus, but the world just don't go for him. The world. You know, one of these nights, I want to preach on the other side of Jesus. He told them one day, he said, let's go to the other side. Most people live and die and never see the other side of Jesus. We got a... In this generation, they call it... They talk about the freaks, you know. Freaks. They talk about Jesus. Brother, he don't make a freak out of you. He'll knock all the freak out of you. Hey. But, you know, we've got a little Jesus with long, wavy hair. He's so gentle and so simple and so sweet. He has diabetes. A lot of sugar in the blood, you know. I mean, that's the Jesus of this generation. I want maybe next Sunday afternoon we'll just take a look at the other side. I think the sermon subject when Jesus turned the tables on. I tell you, brother, we need to turn and to turn the tables on this unbelieving generation. Well, he said, he shall grow up before him, see, as a tender plant, root out of a dry ground, hath no form to come. Did you know the Bible said that the ark was made out of gopher wood? Do you realize that gopher wood won't grow except outside in a tough place? Did you know that gopher wood is the toughest wood? And that they had to go outside and get the gopher wood. They didn't get it in there amongst all the other little junk, you know, and little saplings. Gopher wood made the ark. Did you know that? I mean, that ark had to be pretty solid. Did you know many a log on that old ark? I imagine a lot of floating elephants and everything else hit that ark. And I imagine it had to take... Did you know that it floated for more than a year and didn't leak a drop? Did you know that the Bible doesn't record a thing about a bailing crew?
That's right.
Did you know they didn't have any pumps to pump the water out of it? You know why? It didn't leak a drop. You know what that ark represented? It wasn't Noah's ark. That's a bunch of malarkey. It was God's ark.
Amen.
The Noah's ark had sunk the first 3 days. Man, never did build anything that floats very long. And so, Noah said, we're going to go get some gopher wood. And then he said, we're going to pick it within and without with pitch. That'll stop the leaks right there. You know what keeps my salvation from leaking? The blood of Jesus. Got it pitched within and without. Amen. Did you get that? Within and without. See? The devil can't get in, I can't get out.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I tell you, you'll never enjoy God's salvation until you know you got it.
Amen.
Permanent. Permanent. You talk about maximum security. Oh, I wish you had one night to put on. Maximum security. We got guards around the clock at our home in Corpus. Never sleep. 24 hours a day, those eyes. And yet them little old girls were still. Somehow, one got away, you know. This past 2 days, got her back. Sent the plane after old Morgan went and got her yesterday morning. I mean, she'd already made it down the road to Livingston, Texas, and they picked her up and locked her up. The little thing sitting there in the juvenile jail. They called us, and she finally told them where she's from. And she's heading back toward Tennessee, and she wanted to get on up toward Chicago and so forth because some old boy, you know, little old bitty girl, and not very old, and there she was locked up in the jail. He brought her back, sent the plane there. You can't imagine how many trips we've made in the plane to pick up little runaways. Three little old girls ran, you remember, not long ago, and a great big old black criminal came along and picked them up, just got out of the prison, took them over to the apartment and sort of kept them 3 or 4 days. The little girls haven't got sense enough to know what danger they're in. How filthy and dirty and ungodly. Oh, my soul. And a colored lady across the street called and said, I think 3 of your girls over here across the street. And so took the handcuffs and went over there and picked them up and brought them back. I've never seen such wicked, bold little sinners as we see today. Little old girls, why? They get out on the highway and stomach and don't make any difference who picks them up.
That's right.
And nothing but vultures ever pick them up unless they bring them back. Of course, every once in a while, some of my friends pick them up and said to them, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm going to see Uncle John and hang him around. I'm traveling to see my grandmother. And he said, So he just makes the 180. And he drives up in the yard and said, I believe this is where you came from, isn't it? Yes, sir. But the devil's dirty crowd never brings them back. They use them and abuse them and kick them out. One of my little girls ran 2 years ago 2 years ago, little old Quisling. Ah, listen, I love that little old girl. And I could tell you a lot of things. And how the daddy brought her down. She's a member of 7 or 8 here. He's in the service. And brought her to Corpus Christi. She ran away. I was so surprised. I just didn't think she'd run. She'd made progress. She came in that night. Never will forget the day she came in. Night she came in, and the daddy brought her all the way from up in Illinois. And she sat down. She said, "I don't believe in God, and I don't believe in Jesus, and I don't believe in the Bible, and I never will believe it. And I'm just a little hurt." Go get her. Find her tonight if you can. It's not late. The telephone rang the next morning. And he said, "Brother Walker, I found her." I said, "Wait." He said, "She's right in my office." I said, "I want to talk to her." And I said, "Chris, man, I'm sure glad you found her." I said, "Have you had to learn the hard way?" And she said, "Have I?" I said, "I'm in the street, Brother Walker. They finally got through with me and kicked me out. I had no place to go." You know the question that she asked me? She said, "Brother Law, I didn't intend to leave. I made no plans to leave. I was getting along so good." And she said, "I want to ask you, do you still love me?" "Oh," I said, "yes, more than ever before." And so they put her on the bus to go to Hattiesburg where she could have the baby and place it in a Christian home. And that little girl's down there, and I went through that the other day landing and going and coming, and I'll tell you, she and I had some fellowship as we cut a big watermelon out there in the yard under the beautiful trees on Blue Lake. And she told me she's glad to be home. "I'm glad I made it. I'm glad that I made it back." And she said, "When I have a little baby, I want to come to the Christian Academy and go to school. There's never been a home that I know of like the Rebecca home." And said that, "I want to come back." I tell you, dear friends, Jesus still loves people. He still rescues the perishing. Now then, what else did he say here? We're going to have to hurry. I don't know what time it is. My watch just completely stopped this afternoon. It really did. And the battery went out on it, whatever it was, and so I borrowed the watch. But let's go along now and see what he says. He's despised, still is. Rejected, still is. Of who? Men. Nobody else rejects Jesus but men. Birds still love him, I think. Sing for him. Flowers are still as sweet as they ever were. But man has rejected Jesus Christ, and look at him now. He's the sorriest animal that ever walked on 2 feet. He's the killer. Talk about race problems, demonstrations, violence, homosexuality, war, bloodshed, broken homes, and governments that are corrupt. Why? He kicked Jesus out. And he said, "We won't need..." Now, that's what the battle's all about right here, brother. The welfare department walked up in my churchyard and said, "You won't need that book anymore. Here's our book." And they took that little book, little old brown book, said, "Here, you'll go by these minimum standards right here." And I said, "No, I'll go by these maximum standards." They said, "You'll go to jail before it's over." I said, "I sure will." Since when did a bunch of state busters think that they could fly up in my churchyard and close the church home?
Amen. Amen.
You know what they said? "The church doesn't have the manifold wisdom of God. Jesus is not the head of your church anymore. We're the head of it." I said, "That's what you think."
Amen.
"The church doesn't need 2 heads. That'd be a monster."
Amen.
I'm just kind of getting ready for Sunday afternoon. I practice a little every day. Can you imagine? I said, "Can you imagine? As quit kicking the Bible off and say the Bible's not sufficient." Why, brother, the only way you can have a home like ours is to exercise proper discipline. I mean with love. Oh, my soul, how did we get so far away from the Lord? Why did we reject the thing that made us great? Brother, this is the foundation of our liberty, freedom, peace, joy, and all the rest of it. He despised, rejected a man of sorrows. Amen. No man ever sorrowed like Jesus. I was thinking of the verse just came. I don't have a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all my soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Sang Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not the one. And no, not the one. Did every saint find his friend, forsake him? No, not the one. Oh, no, not the one. Our sinners find that he would not take him. No, not the one. Oh, no, not the one. But he's singing. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. And no, not one.
Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him, still are. That's the reason people don't come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They're hiding their face from Jesus. Brother, they're going to have to face him. The Bible said, every knee is going to bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things on the earth. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is God and Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, the confession days are rolling around, boys. Talk about a confession meeting, we're going to have it. Every infidel and every sinner and every communist is going to rise up to confess Jesus. Lord, one of these days, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we didn't love him. We didn't esteem him. Surely, oh, I tell you, I get letters, and it said, your esteemed friend, your loving friend. Jesus didn't get in letters like that. They didn't esteem him. He was esteemed not. Surely, he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. Oh, what it means, actually, is he took my whipping for me. The chastisement of our peace, that's where I got my peace. Through his chastening, I received his peace, and with his stripes we're healed. I doubt if we've ever come to the knowledge of that verse. I imagine most of us have just kind of read on top of that. And what does it mean, that with his stripes we're healed? With his stripes we're healed. Didn't say with his stripes we're saved. You don't get saved by stripes. You don't even get saved by his love. Did you know that? Brother, the love of God doesn't save anybody. It did everybody be saved. He loves everybody. I tell you what, you say, you're saved by the blood of the crucified one. Ah, you hear me tonight. You're saved by the death of Christ, that's all. The soul of sin, if it could die, didn't say it'll get sick, said it'll die. With his stripes we're healed. Oh, listen to that verse. With his stripes we're healed. Let me ask you something. Is God a brute? Why did God permit Jesus to be stripes? To be beaten. His visage was marred so that he couldn't even recognize him. With his stripes we're healed.
Oh, I know we're living in the day of medicine men. Medicine men. Oh, antibiotics. Penicillin and all the rest of it. But everybody's forgotten where the stripes were healed. People don't know how to live by faith anymore. They don't believe in divine healing anymore. There ain't no other kind. Say what you please, buddy. Doctor can take his old pocket knife and cut you open, but you'll never heal if God doesn't heal you.
Amen.
We're living in a sick generation. People don't know how to trust God. They don't think about calling up Jesus, the great physician. Die not, Israel. Bible said he had crippled feet, had the gout. The Bible said he died because he sought not to the Lord, but he sought the physician. And he died. And dear friends, the scripture was saying he could have got well if he'd have gone to the physician, the physician. But he didn't live. Ah, this is little. God's got something for us that most of us have never believed. I'm talking about here if you need that report to me. Let me ask you something. We've come to it Saturday night, the Lord willing. Bring what a fellow, bring what kind of life it is to just live completely by faith. Huh? I know one thing, living by faith will throw you out of joint with everything around you. Or religion will treat you like you got smallpox. I mean, you won't be accepted, I'll tell you one thing. You'll be accepted in the Beloved, but you'll be hated by those that are not, don't know the Beloved. Yes, sir, you just put it down. You'll be hated or be loved. But if you live by faith, you've identified yourself with the minority group. But it's a glorious life. Oh, it's an exciting life to live. Now the just shall live by faith. I'll tell you something else. If you live by faith, you'll be outside the gate. Everything that lives by faith stands outside the gate. You say, I wouldn't like that. Well, I haven't told you who's out there yet. Most of you don't understand who's outside the gate. I tell you what you'll do. The first one you meet outside the gate will be Jesus. Born outside the gate, lived outside the gate, died outside the gate. Thank God he got me inside the gate so I could get outside the gate with him. By that I mean he got me into salvation and then he expects us to get out there with him. And when you get with him, you'll find everything you've been hungry for all of your life. The satisfying portion is outside the gate. And there's some sufferings outside the gate, but it's not particularly physical. It's spiritual suffering. The Bible said, captain of our salvation made perfect through suffering. Dear friends, as strong as them old nails pierced, and as much blood as flowed down his side, and from his blessed brow by the crown of thorns, that wasn't his main suffering. Oh, it was that spiritual anguish of knowing that the people that nailed the nails to his hands needed to be saved. I don't believe they're saved. I don't believe a saved man drives nails through the hands of the Savior. I don't either. No, I don't believe that crowd out to holler, crucified! Crucified! Let him be crucified. That bunch wasn't saved. No, listen, the Christian would say, let him be crowned. Let him be crowned. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth those royal diadems. Let's crown him, Lord of all. Little boy in a Sunday school class where the teacher talked about Jesus all the time. And this little fellow was so new until finally he heard so much about Jesus, he said and raised his little hand. And he said, teacher, he said, I tell you, you told me so much about Jesus. And I never did hear of anybody like that in all of my life. And do what he did. He said, don't you think we ought to start calling him Mr. Jesus? We better show him more respect. Brother, that's good teaching, isn't it? Now, listen, brother, If you go out of this building thinking more of Jesus tonight than you do this preacher, I might have at least gotten one thing over to you. It's Jesus. He's the Savior, the Son of God. He's despised, rejected, and made a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. With his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep, that's all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Who shall declare his generation? And who's going to represent him? Oh, when I come to that verse, I'd like to raise up both hands and say, I volunteer. I volunteer. Oh, listen. And he was tried, didn't have a lawyer, not even a state-appointed lawyer. Dear friends, I never went through what he went through. Never. When he walked into old Pilate's judgment hall, he tread the winepress of God's wrath alone. When he climbed up that old bloody brow called Golgotha's Hill in Calvary, there wasn't anybody there to help him. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Brother, when I went to jail in Corpus Christi on February the 12th, 1973, on Abraham Lincoln's birthday, I walked in that old jail where I preached for 30 long years, walked into the same division, and locked both them old steel doors, double doors, and I stepped in between. But this time, I didn't go in as a preacher. I went in as a criminal. In the eyes of the state welfare department. Oh, listen, I want you to know, the sheriff looked at me and said, preacher, a man for whom I've prayed and with whom I've prayed in his home and through the years, he said, preacher, I don't want you in my jail. You don't deserve to be in my jail. That old wicked sinner, known me these many years, been sheriff nearly 20 years. Let me inside the jail. Only man in Corpus that's ever gotten inside the jail for 30 years. Locked up! And said, go preach to them and tell us when you want out. And I walked inside that jail. But I'd remind you, dear friends, it wasn't as lonely a walk as Jesus walked. That night at midnight, I heard that old turnkey coming. Them old keys are rattling. I wasn't asleep. Laying now on that old cot without a sheet. Waiting for the rattling of the keys. And directly, I heard that old key go in that old steel door. That old door unlocked. And somebody called my name. Sit! Brother Olaf, you may come. Them old boys that had been in jail with that day. He said, Brother Olaf, he's calling for you. And I walked outside the jail, rolled up my old mattress, got my little old tin cup, went down the stairs, and two of my lawyers, real estate, board of director man on the board. They were there. Oh, they smiled at me and said, we're going to bond, brother. A $5,000 bond. We're getting out of here tonight. Jesus didn't have it done. Did he? Tried three times and condemned to die. Like a criminal. Yet he's my Christ. Lord, have mercy on the man that wouldn't love a friend like that. Wouldn't trust a friend like that. Oh, listen, dear friend. I've got to quit. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is standing your heart's door, standing and knocking. But he's knocked before. This is the question that you face once more. What Will you do it, Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? I'll tell you what he'll do with you. He'll do with you tomorrow what you do with him today. You accept him today, he'll accept you tomorrow. Yes, trust him tonight. Bow your heads while we pray. Every head bowed. In a moment, we're going to sing. I didn't get to finish the chapter, but I'll finish it before I start preaching tomorrow night. I just must. You finish it tonight when you get home. He read the scripture where he said, poured out his soul unto death. Therefore, I'll divide him a portion with the grave. Said it pleased the Lord to do so. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how tender Heavenly Father pleased to bruise him. What bruises he had. But tonight, sin has bruised some of you. The devil's bruised you. But there's a cure for your bruises tonight. We're going to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And I wonder how many souls have come. I've been praying that God would make this a great spiritual touring trip to help the people on to God. I want to ask one question, then we'll pray. And dear friends, I hardly ever ask anything to close the service. I just go ahead and give an invitation. But I believe I'm supposed to ask this. How many of you say, preacher, I'm not right with the Lord, but I'd like to be. I heard your message tonight. God must have brought me here, and I'm glad he did. I'm not right, but I'd like to be. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Just put your hand up. God bless you, and you, and you. Stick them up high and then put them down. I see. God bless you. I see the hand. God bless you. God bless you. That's why. God bless you. God bless you. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. God bless your heart. I see the man's hand right in there. Put it down. Anybody else? Anybody else? We're just trying to help them. We thought if we'd all pray for you, God would speak to you a little further. Anybody else? The Lord has been here tonight. He's blessed us tonight. He's given his message tonight. Now it's time for your response. Anybody else? Raise your hand. We're going to pray right now. Anybody else? Just before we pray. Our Father, first of all, we thank thee for Jesus, and that though he was despised and rejected, there's a flock of people here tonight that have not despised thee and have not rejected thee. And we thank thee for Christians, Lord, up in Michigan, just same sweet Christians as they were in Wichita, Kansas last night. And Father, I pray for these who raise their hands. Only thou couldst know their heart and what prompted them to stick up their hands. Maybe their prayer life is just about come to nothing. Their soul and their testimony, their home is unhappy. The husband is unsaved. And they've gotten somehow disturbed and maybe fractious about the children. But Lord, I want you to just have mercy on them tonight. Those that lifted their hands, meet their real need tonight. And Father, I pray that when they walk out of this building, they'll be enjoying that sweet fellowship and a right relationship with the Lord. Save those that are lost tonight and bless your children. Father, help us not to take refuge in a church membership role, but only in the blood. Oh, may we be covered by the blood. And bless us as we sing, and grant that the people may be right. While our heads are bowed, as I do most of the time, I'm just going to kneel here at the altar. And I'm going to ask those of you who raise your hand, if you feel led to come and humble yourself and come and kneel in the altar and say, Lord, I mean it. I want help. I want you to help me tonight. I'm coming in faith to trust thee and to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I receive the fullness of his love, and I want you to forgive my sin and cleanse me. And he'll do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.